Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
For those who haven't picked up on that gimmick, we're legally obligated to say that once near the top of every hour. That's why Casey does that bit right there. There's a specific way that the station needs to be said once an hour.
When you
it's
were
called
gone,
a legal ID.
What legal
That's
ID?
What it's called.
When you were gone, I had a KC trying to say DeMontis on CBS moment. Yeah. Trying to get, remember that, Jesse?
I heard one of them.
That was tough.
I heard one of them. I think I turned it off and just said, "Let me leave my man alone." Let me leave my man alone.
The notes went away from me. I tried to click on it, and then I tried to memorize it.
I had to read the ID at some point.
That was chaos.
It's only been 4 years, buddy. It's all right. That's all right.
How many times you think I said it in 4 years? Less than 10?
Yeah, less than 10.
Well, no, because I say when you're gone.
Four times per show.
You think you get it in?
You've been gone more than 10 shows over 4 years. Not a lot, but you've had, vacation, and I've had to do it then. And then, like you said, four times a day or mm-hmm. three times a day
mm-hmm.
over. Yeah, probably more than I realized. I would have said under 10 too, but now that we do the math.
Well, I keep this card in front of me because I'll still mess it up. I'll still mess it up. You got to mention the KRX QHD2. You got to mention the ESPN 1320, the Odyssey app. West Sacramento, you gotta do.
I don't throw the holidays in there either, because then it gets real tricky. I'm like, yo, where we? Did we move? Where we at?
Thankfully we convinced.
Casey says you listen to the station right next to the big tree on the logo on the screen.
That's a shoot.
If you pass the tree, you've gone too far.
That's a shoot. If you pass the tree, you're going too far, and that's only, to the best of my knowledge, in Teslas. Everyone else with a screen mm-hmm. in their car, an HD screen that. Or an HD radio with the screen, the ESPN 1320 logo shows up. It's just in a Tesla, the Christmas logo shows up.
ESPN 1320, that's your true. Tesla's number one Christmas station.
Yeah, it's Sack Christmas. All right, man.
That's a trip.
Yeah, we were telling our engineer team, can we get this fixed? Like, dude, we fixed it. Like, this is literally just one car.
Wow.
The guy who ruined X wants us to be Christmas forever.
That's wow. facts. We can't even tweet on the Odyssey link on X without it. The tweet just not going through anymore.
That's a shoot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's get Kamara in here. Kamara, go ahead. Sky's falling. Hey. Tell us how bad it is, Kamara.
First of all, I resent that, because I actually call when they win and I call when they lose. The fact of the matter is,
you don't text when they win.
You don't text when they win.
What am I going to text y'all?
The same things you text when they lose.
Listen, you see what it is. I'm telling you the vibe. The problem is with you, Casey, I'm glad you got glasses on today. Because them glasses are rose colored. Everything is, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
When I say that.
They're going to come out and play. Oh, come on, man.
When I say that.
Oh, come on. Last week you said, listen, Kamara, they're going to show up. I was like, I'm not so sure, Casey. They're playing bad. Even in today's chat, you said, oh, they're playing good basketball. They are 17-15 since the trade deadline.
So you think they're playing? You think they're playing bad basketball? Like, usually you're going way, way back. I'm thinking about, you know, the road trip since Malik got hurt. You know, the way that they're competing. You think they're playing bad basketball? I think there's a difference between bad basketball and not bringing home a win.
No, I'm telling you what bad basketball is, especially at this time of the year, is when you're not playing heady basketball, but a team that's had some playoff experience, they understand what's important, and you're sitting there, Domantas throwing away a ball in the fourth quarter, them taking threes when they're down by one. It's just,
you're talking about a play.
Hold on, Kenny, but I'm talking about it all plays together. This is the time of year when possessions matter. And bad habits throughout the year start to accumulate into bad losses. And they don't do that. That's my problem with this team. That's why I don't know about tomorrow. That's why I don't know what they're going to look like, because they have done bad. They've had bad habits all year. And that's all that's all I'm focused on. So you can't sit there and say they're playing good basketball when they're having continual bad habits on every single game, especially the last 9 games.
Kamara, to me, that's two different things. And I don't know if he's still there or not. But
Kamara just threw something.
That's two different things. Like you can continuously have bad habits and be doing other things right. Like you could be doing, if there's 7 boxes you got to check off, you could be checking off 5 of them, and 2 of them you're not, and it's keeping you from winning. The way I look at that, and maybe it's coach speak and all this other stuff, you're not playing bad basketball. You're doing a lot of good things, but the 2 things that you're not checking off are keeping you from the good things you're doing turning into wins. And that, to me, if you got 7 boxes to check off, only doing 2 of them right is playing bad basketball. And I think that's where the Kings are for me personally. They're checking off 5 of the boxes, and 2 of them they're not consistently checking off, which is keeping them from winning basketball games. It's a level of semantics, but that's I wouldn't classify them as playing bad basketball.
Kamara's point might be those 2 things costing them the win is what is equating to bad basketball. Like, you're not getting results out of it. At some point, and I think the argument is at the end of the season at least, you got to be able to get results out of that. You can't afford to have 2 things go wrong, and that's just the unfortunate place that the Kings are in. Mm-hmm. You have 5 pillars. You can't afford to have 2 of them go wrong tomorrow. You got to – 4.5 of them have to be right, and you better hope that Golden State don't hit on all 5.
Right, for sure. See, so I guess like when I hear stuff like that, like Portland's playing bad basketball. You're saying Portland is like just bad basketball. Portland and the Kings are in the same conversation of bad basketball?
Well, no, I don't think that's what he's saying at all.
That's bad basketball. We ain't putting lipstick on a pig. It's either good or bad, right? So Portland's playing bad basketball. You're telling me Kamara and everybody else, the Kings, are playing bad basketball. That's the way I look at it.
Is there a difference between the Golden State Warriors and, excuse me, is there a difference between the Portland Trailblazers playing bad basketball and a team that had been fighting for a top 6 spot playing bad basketball?
To me, yeah, maybe I'm stuck on the word bad. Like, I don't think they're playing bad basketball.
I think you are.
They're not doing enough to win. I think we all agree there. But bad is bad. Like, bad is not good. Bad is, you know, subpar, awful. Like, that's how I'm looking at bad. And that's not. They're doing good things out there, but they're not doing enough to win.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of semantics in this conversation that you and Kamara.
I think bad is a lot of shock value. Like, they're playing bad. I'm telling you, they're playing bad. Like, not playing bad. Like, we ain't got to jump off the deep end.
They're not necessarily playing good, but they're not good enough.
They're not playing good enough.
Yeah, they're just not good
enough.
They're
doing a lot of good things out there. Like I said, I'm watching this team over the last 3 weeks. They're doing a lot of good things on the court, but they're not doing enough of the good things to win basketball games, to get over the hump.
For those wondering, this was brought up at the press conference. Zero chance. Zero chance. That's from Mike Brown, that Malik Monk pays tomorrow. I guess it was just something that needed to be stated, but zero chance Malik Monk plays tomorrow. We'll come back. Leezy, hang tight. I got you. I promise. Right out the break, 916-909-1320 if you want to get in on the convo. Stealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino, where we'll be live this Friday. Details coming up, plus your chance to win a $500 gift card coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Stay tempted in for that. Here on ESPN 1320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Nine one six nine zero nine 1320. Leezy, what's happening, baby?
Oh, D-Lo. KC, what's good, guys?
What's up, man?
What up, man?
Yo, what's popping? Hey, I just wanted to call in and talk about the game tomorrow. You know, we're all a little bit nervous going against the Warriors, but hey, three keys. Like, I think the Kings really got to focus on is, we kind of talked about, is free throws, and two, is Keegan Murray going to show up? And three, are we going to like let Draymond be crazy again? Like, we can't get distracted with all his shenanigans. We can't have people getting kicked in the ribs again. I think that's like three keys we really got to focus on.
I am not focusing a single second on Draymond Green's stupidity. No. If he wants to go out there in a playing game and act stupid, man, let him. It doesn't mean anything. I'm with you. Like, I'm curious, like, why there's this question about Keegan. I saw that in the chat a couple of times. Is Keegan Murray going to show up? Is Keegan Murray going to do this? Is Keegan Murray going to do that? Is there some question as to whether?
I think we're talking
about an elevated level of show up. Like, what are we talking about?
I think some people are like maybe not sure, or maybe not confident that he's going to come with the same level of aggression that we need him to.
Sure.
I haven't looked at Keegan as any type of a question mark. Not saying that he can't have a bad game, but what I look for him is a level of aggression. And I can't remember what game it was, but he wasn't aggressive. And I had a problem with that. And I said, I need 15 to 18 shots every night. And he's provided that, whether he's been efficient or whether he's had big, you know, point totals or whatever in those games in the last two or three weeks. That's, you know, up for debate. But I think he's going to give me the 15, 18 shots, which is what I'm looking for him. So I don't have too much worry or concern for Keegan in this game tomorrow and hopefully on Friday.
Okay. Let's get Jared in here, 916-909-1320. Jared, what's going on, brother?
What's up, guys? I came out on Saturday to the Chris Webber event and had a great time, and I just wanted to mention that. Y'all did a great job of hosting.
Thank you. I thought
Mayor Kevin Johnson was a fantastic moderator, and I was so glad I made it out.
That's what's up, man. I'm glad you got out there, man.
Yeah, absolutely, especially given how bad the weather was that day. That was a really, really great event. I thought Kevin did a fantastic job of making sure certain points were touched on. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a little bit of Chris growing up. You got a little bit of Chris at Michigan, mm-hmm. and you got a little bit of Chris in the NBA and in Sacramento. I really enjoyed listening to Chris.
That was a really good conversation.
And I'm looking forward to reading this book, man. This is a Mankind Have a Nice Day size book, yeah. which, if I got the story correct, he wrote that. Mm-hmm. Not in the traditional sense of when we talk about, you know, an athlete writing a book. Chris wrote that book. Mm. They tried the gimmick, and I think it was our man Tony mm-hmm. O'Harvey mm-hmm. shared with me. You know, Chris told us that book, by God's grace, was 12 years in the making. Mm. It started with Marty.
Wow.
Marty Mack.
Wow.
Marty McNeil was going to write that book with him, and obviously, you know, we lost Marty.
Yeah.
And you know, Chris did the thing where he talked to people, and the people transcribed it, and he was just like, this isn't it, like, this isn't me, so he wrote the book.
Mm. Wow, I didn't know that about Marty Mack.
Yeah, Tony shared that with me last night. He said Marty Mack was gonna write that book with Chris.
Yeah, I'm interested to read it, though.
Yeah.
Chris is you know, a super interesting person to me. You know, his life, you know, the things, good and, you know, bad that he's had to go through, how candid he is when he speaks, and mm-hmm. I know he's going to be even more in this book. I'm interested to read this for sure.
Yeah, very much looking forward to that. It was a great event, and we really appreciate everyone who came through. The Guild Theater was nearly sold out.
Mm-hmm.
The weather was awful.
Yeah, just poured for no reason.
Just nonstop from hours before the event started to hours after the event ended. It was pouring. But folks braved the crowd. Kings fans braved the crowd. And Kevin pulled us aside, said, hey, we're not gonna feed into the stereotype. We're going to start on time. You guys just might have to talk for a few minutes. So we went on stage and you know, did a little temperature check because, of course, this is Saturday. This is the day after the Phoenix game.
Such a tough game.
And it was a great time. Got to see our man Al Biakani out there for a little bit.
Oh yeah, Al's ready to.
Yeah.
He's good. He's ready to make me throw up.
Yeah, you know he's like 5 minutes. You know he's like across the parking lot.
I told him I don't want no problems, man. Yeah, well, I told him I gotta get in shape before I go to him to try to get in shape.
Yeah, it's literally never worked. I don't want no problems is a phrase that's literally never worked when it comes to Al.
Well, you gotta get in shape to get ready to get in shape.
That's a shoot. So I told you what he does, though. He does that. All right, y'all. Let's go. Need y'all to get 100 of these in. Hey, Bubba, it's okay. You could do 20. Like, I know you can't do 100. It's okay, Bubba. Do 20. He knows what he's doing. He's going to break your ego down. But it was great to see him. It was great to see Chris's reaction to seeing him. We had a really, really good time on Saturday. I you know, that Oak Park area is special.
Yeah.
Underground Books, where he was taking pictures. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, everyone stopped to get their food.
Absolutely.
Katrina and Ramsey. I was going to say, Katrina and Ramsey were raving about the catfish last night when I was talking to them.
I think that's my new one. I might mix it up.
Missed out.
Usually when I go places, I don't vary. Mm-hmm. If I go to Chili's, I'm getting a burger. You mm-hmm. know, I don't need no ribs, nothing like that. If I'm going to, you know, wherever, this is what I get at this place. I'm torn now between the catfish and the chicken and waffles at mm-hmm. Fixin's. I'm just going to have to, you know, switch it up every now and then.
I would have done the waffles if I stayed, but I grabbed my food to go. Yeah. So I didn't. But I wish I had done the catfish, especially the way Katrina and Ramsey were talking about it. Yeah, and the oxtails, like, there isn't anything on that Fixin's menu that misses.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing on that menu that misses. 916-909-1320. And Jared, appreciate the call, man. Thanks for sharing that with us. It was great to meet so many of you out there on Saturday. Domantas Sabonis, a couple of things I don't want to gloss over. Hammer mentioned this talking to De'Aaron Fox a few minutes ago. De'Aaron led the league in steals.
Mm.
That's big time.
That is major.
De'Aaron led the league in steals. And I think it was Will had the stat that since 2007, 2008, I don't know why I said I think it was Will. It was definitely Will Z. who had the stat since 2007, 2008. The steals leader has made an all-defensive team 14 of the 16 times.
Did he say who the two were that didn't make it?
I don't believe that he did.
No, I'm really curious about
Will,
that.
if you're out there and you're not busy, if you could share that with us, that would be tremendous. That's an amazing stat for De'Aaron, and I wish I had gotten the opportunity. He was working his ass off last night, but I wish I had gotten the opportunity to talk to Doug Christie and tell him, hey, you were the very first person I heard talk about De'Aaron on the defensive end when you were on the radio.
Yeah.
Long before you were a coach. Like, you were talking about what you could see from De'Aaron Fox as a potential all-defensive player.
Nope.
So salute to DC. When it comes to defense, that man's knows what he's talking about. Apparently it is in there, and I'm an idiot who can't read. It was DeJounte and Steph. Interesting. DeJounte and Steph.
Steph is, I can understand that. DeJounte, I feel like DeJounte's been a really good defender. So
the question now, is it DeJounte, Steph, and De'Aaron?
It shouldn't be. I got a feeling that it might be.
I was
talking
to some voters yesterday, our man J.A. And
what are they talking about?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that J.A. had a lot of buzz for De'Aaron being a top 10 defensive player. Like, I think he did, but I don't know. Where his contemporaries are at with De'Aaron being an all-defensive player. And I don't know, man. I don't know how you look at what he's done this year on the defensive end and go, yeah, he's not worthy of that honor.
Yeah, especially since it's positionless now.
Especially because SGA going to make it. Think you're going to leave SGA off that list?
And I think, and Will, you can probably break this down even more, but like all those metrics – you know, steals per game is just one, but like all those metrics of deflections and all this other stuff, like he's right there with an SGA, if not ahead of him in certain categories. So, and once again, if you watch the games and watch the situations, he's guarding these guys.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time. So, I would hate to see him not make that because he deserves that accolade to be on the all defensive team. First or second team. But if people got their preconceived notions already and, you know, already thinking about stuff and him, you know, miss out because of that, that would suck.
Yeah, it would, man. It would. Another example of this voting being flawed, Domantas Sabonis led the league in rebounding again.
Kings had a steals leader and a rebound leader.
That's crazy. that's crazy. And it goes... what's that tell you? Like, they had the steals leader and the rebounding leader, and they're in the ninth spot in a 9-10 play-in game. Now, we could frame that as the West. We could frame that, you know, like, we know the season. We know the low points of the season. Obviously, we know the injuries that they're dealing with right now. I doubt very many other people have taken the time to kind of understand the, other than the Bob Myers, they lost to Detroit. Well, thanks, Bob. Like, we know. Thank you for that. Thank you for pointing it out. Bob pointed that out after the game was over, which was still the most incredible thing I've ever seen. The Kings win a game, but Bob Myers pointed out they lose to Detroit.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, but.
Just didn't know how they were going to get it done because they didn't
know.
They lost to Detroit and they don't defend the three well. I don't know how they're going to win this game.
Yeah. And De'Aaron's just missing free throws for no reason. Nothing happened. He's just missing them.
They ended up winning by.
Thanks, Bob.
I don't know what the finals, but they were up by like 25 at one point.
Thanks, Bob. No, it's good. And it's crazy, Bob, right? Just crazy. but what does that say, though? Like, the Kings had the steals leader and the rebounds leader, and you have them here in the ninth spot getting ready to play a win-or-go-home game against the Golden State Warriors. To me, it shows, like, look, you've got the foundation of something. You've got something here. But there's still just pieces of it that aren't fully coming together.
Yeah, and this goes to, you know, what everybody's talked about and everybody knows going into the offseason is you got to make some changes. You got to tinker with this roster to, you know, help these top guys out a little bit. And not that the people that you move on from are giving you nothing, but they may not fit exactly where you would hoped for this team to move forward and to progress and move up. So you also got to deal with, I think, you know, the fact that the injury bug did hit these guys this year. I know, you know, the baby giraffe, he tried to dispel that rumor or that narrative, you know, talking about all the guys that have played 82 games or, you know, Sabonis played 82 games. Fox played 74, Monk played 72, and all this other stuff. And like, nah, it's not injuries or whatever. But Touchdown Al kind of compared that to last year. And basically he said Sabonis played two more games than he did last year. Fox one more. Fox, Monk five less. Murray four less. All this other stuff. And it equated to, of the top eight guys in the rotation, the Kings missed 33 more games than they did last year.
Mm.
And you combine dealing with those injuries with just the flat out inexcusable losses that you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're at 9-10, in my opinion. Those two factors.
Well, one thing I appreciated about that media scrum we just listened to involving De'Aaron Fox is he said we put ourselves in this position. Mm-hmm. Like, we put ourselves in a 9-10 position. It's what we didn't win games that we were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a certain level of focus, but it's also a level of, like, accountability. Like, look, we know why we're here. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing we could do about Detroit or Washington or the Portland game. There's nothing we can do about it. We can't get back the 20-point lead we blew against Phoenix. We can't get back the free throws we missed against Milwaukee. But we could do something about tomorrow.
Yep.
And that's just kind of the level of focus that you have to have. Mm-hmm. You've got to it's crazy to think if you're Sacramento and maybe even to a certain degree Golden State, you're putting 82 games behind you.
Mm-hmm.
None of them matter at this point. Take what we learned in those 82 and get us ready here for this one against the Golden State Warriors or – you know, this one against the Sacramento Kings. Get us for this one basketball game we have ahead of us.
Yeah, man, that's what it comes down to, man. And that's what this time of year is all about. It's a reset, you know, to your season. All those other things that you had to deal with and that you did, they don't really matter now. Good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, OKC, number one seed.
Yeah.
They may get bounced. If you're resting on your laurels in that situation where like, oh yeah, we the one seed or we play well, and I'm not saying they are, I'm just saying, and not realizing that this is a different environment and a different atmosphere, you'll be going home. And the same things apply for a team that's maybe has struggled for a lot of the year. You struggled throughout the year, but look where we're at now. We're here. We have an opportunity. We keep using this line time and time again because I think it's accurate in the way these guys are looking at it. Every goal that we had, still right in front of us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Still right in front of us. So everything that we've been through, everything that, you know, maybe we didn't cash in on or whatever,
mm-hmm.
our goals are still right here, still attainable. If we just keep a level of focus or if we execute a little bit more, if we don't turn the ball over or make our free throws, it's all right there. Like the dream hasn't died.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's...
Dream's taking a detour.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all
Dream's
it is.
Dream's taking a detour. And there's something that can be... There's probably something that can be said for that, like, if you get there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of, like, positives to take away from this year moving forward. A lot of fans are looking at, like, what has to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Herter conversation comes up. The Barnes conversation comes up. You know, the draft pick, the trade, all of these different things come into the conversation about, like, what it's like moving forward. No one feels like this is the group that's going to get you where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that the Kings somehow stringing together two wins and getting to the playoffs, regardless of what happens in the series potentially against Oklahoma City Thunder, that creates a different level of momentum headed into the offseason and next season. Because, like, adversity can build character. And this team is facing adversity tomorrow. This team was coasting the final week and some change of the season last year in the three spot, waiting to see how things would shake out. And they wound up playing the Golden State Warriors. They lose. That's fine. I obviously, you want them to win, but no one's dejected about it. No one's got their the loss stung, but no one's got their head down about it. You're moving forward. You decided to run it back. Okay. Some questions kind of started early. Then you have, the series of bad losses that we've pointed out a million times, and now you have the really, really unfortunate situation with their two-guard depth being completely wiped out. Facing adversity the whole way through. You were in the sixth spot. You dropped to the seventh, the eighth. You wound up finishing in the ninth. You had to win a couple of games to get to the playoffs. Resets everything draft-wise, but gets you back to the playoffs for the second straight year. There's something to facing that level of adversity to me. Achieving the goal in a completely different way that you achieved it last year is still achieving the goal.
For sure.
And it's not popular to point this out. Warriors are about championships. Lakers are about championships. That's fine. Good for y'all. For the Kings, it's just getting there. Getting to the playoffs is a success. If they lose to Oklahoma City, so be it. If they lose to someone else and don't win a championship, so be it. There's growth, there's lessons, there's positive momentum by just making the playoffs.
Do you think there's any positive momentum and things that can be taken out of this series and this experience if you don't make the playoffs? Like if you win tomorrow, lose Friday.
I don't. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't. I mean, maybe there's a exercise the demon type thing with Golden State. Like that's a one of one thing. Like that does not apply to anybody else. It only applies to the Golden State Warriors. Maybe you feel like a certain way about that, but in the end, it still didn't get you where you had to go, right? Like if you were to, if this was just somehow flipped and you were playing the Lakers tomorrow and you win and for whatever reason you're playing the Golden State Warriors next, like that is a true exorcism right there. It's a win or go home, and like you made the playoffs because of that victory. Winning tomorrow and then losing, to me, that doesn't that doesn't do it.
Puts the cap on your disappointing season. The only thing you can really get out of it is if they just pull up last minute and get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than losing tomorrow, right? And that's what we were talking about earlier. That's where I'm gonna be like antsy with everybody else, but that's why I'm not as up for this game, because you just don't win anything with it except another opportunity to play. And it'd be great for us because we'll get two more days to talk about the different, challenges they're going to face in a game against a team that they've beaten four times this year or a team that's beaten them five times this year. Like there's going to be a discussion there. I just don't think I can take anything positive out of it.
What do you, both of you guys, feeling that way, take away from, if anything, from how Mike Brown keeps trying to emphasize, regardless of what happens, this is a positive experience for guys like Fox, Sabonis, Murray, all these other guys.
If I could just share my thought, I feel like he's saying that stuff because he knows they're cooked too. Like he knows what this team's ceiling is. He knows where this ends, I think. So at this point, if you're like a true playoff team or whatever, you're not talking about moral victories. Not saying like that's the exact word Mike Brown used, but like stuff like that. You're not talking about that, like going into playoffs, you're like, no, we're gonna try and win these games or whatever. I feel like he knows like there's a ceiling to this and he knows probably where it ends. So it's like at this point you take in what you can get.
I disagree with that a little bit. I think Mike might be aware because of what the roster looks like right now, where they're at. But I don't think that's why he's doing that. I'm with him in the sense, like, I think I understand exactly what he's saying. And I think you pointed this out, like the playoffs aren't promised to you. Like we more as like media types and fans, I always laugh at the word timeline. Who the hell constructs these timelines and decides that this is this individual's timeline? Because did y'all have OKC as the one seed? I don't think they did. I think we all thought Oklahoma City was going to be better. Mm-hmm. But do we have them as the one seed? Oh, they're ahead of the timeline. Bro, what timeline? And what happens to OKC next year? If OKC is in the play-in next year, if they're in the 7, if they're in the 8, if they wind up going home before the series start, does it destroy their whole timeline? Is everything thrown off? Mm. No, I get what Mike is trying to say. Like, this is a learning experience for all of them. This is a... For me, and I harp on this a little bit because at the time it agitated me, but this is like to what Mike was talking about. This is De'Aaron learning. Yeah, it's a loss in the loss column. It's one loss in the loss column until it's not. Hmm. Charlotte was one loss in the loss column until last night. Mm-hmm. Detroit was one loss in the loss column until last night. And I think that's Mike telling them, like, okay, you had the ups. You had the downs. Which one you want? Mm-hmm. You experienced them both. Which one do you want? Mm-hmm. Like, from a coaching perspective, I 1,000% understand what Mike is talking about. And if I was a coach, that is absolutely what I would be telling them.
Yeah, I just ask because that's how I look at this a little bit. It is definitely disappointing if they're not able to make the playoffs. Absolutely disappointing, but I do tend to look at these guys and this this main group, and you know there's probably still somebody left to be added to the main group, but this is a journey. This is something that's being built.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens this year, I don't think it has to define who these guys are moving forward as Sacramento Kings, and like Sabonis and Fox and all this other stuff. Like neither one of you have said this, but it's like the whole, if they don't make the playoffs, well, it's clear you just can't win with Sabonis as your second best player. Like, no, this doesn't define Fox or, they were talking about Fox last week.
Yeah.
You know, no, that's not who it is. And I think that's a lot of what Mike Brown is talking about, as it's an experience that they're going through. They're trying to figure out how to navigate through it. And whether you make the playoffs or not, on the other side of it, you want to be better from that. You want to learn from that. And you may have to miss the playoffs to end up getting that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But this what Mike says specifically, it'll make these guys better in the long run. So I don't know. I mean, once again, don't want to put lipstick on a pig. It is not okay if they miss the playoffs.
It's not okay. It's disappointing if they miss the playoffs. Okay. We can also be real with ourselves and like acknowledge like their build as far as overtime and what they're trying to accomplish hasn't really taken a massive hit or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Some people do think so.
I think it's just more clear what you need on this roster, if anything.
We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We'll talk more Kings Warriors. We'll talk about the rest of the NBA playoffs. Some interesting matchups across the board. And your New York Knicks finishing second in the East.
Go,
wow.
New York, go. Wow. OG's back.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he played yesterday.
Wow, I didn't think he. Salute. We'll talk about
I'll double check that. I'll make sure.
It's D'Lo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino here on ESPN 1320. I love the idea of getting Naomi involved with the bloodline, though.
Oh, yeah.
WWE storytelling is cooking right now.
Oh, man.
It's cooking right now.
They're in their bag. Hey, real quick, I know we want to get to the phone lines. Guess who I met on Friday? Shout out to our guy.
Someone courtside, I'm assuming. Were you at the Kings game or something?
Yeah.
It was Suns Kings. I was at the game.
They'd be telling me where you were.
I did not sit courtside. I don't know.
You met Jason Derulo.
No, it was Sunday. I don't know why he was there.
Jason Derulo was lighting the beam last night.
Yeah, he was.
Well, we get stars coming here.
Yep, and we get Jason Derulo, too. That was unnecessary. I apologize. That was not okay.
I met for the first time our guy, Mason Jones. Had a nice little quick convo. I was like, Mace, yeah. You know, we got love for you, dog. He's like, man, I got to pull up on y'all, man. Mm-hmm. I said, say less. He said, when the season over, I'm going to pull up on y'all. I said,
that's what's up.
Pull up on us, man.
Very good.
Good dude.
Love to hear that.
Yeah.
Love to hear that. You said Phil? Phil's on the line? 916-909-1320. What's up, Phil?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Doing all right, doing all right. You know who Chris Paul better not be tomorrow?
Who's
Scott
that?
Foster.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
He's like 0-18 or something against him, right?
Is it a sign? Scott's gonna be in the building?
No, I don't think we know yet. I don't know if we know. That's a good call. I didn't think about that.
You imagine the Sacramento Kings saving grace. Yes, it is the referees, but it's Scott Foster.
Can you imagine the pop Scott Foster would get? Oh, he'd be the first referee to ever get a pop.
That is hilarious. Oh, man.
What was it? Linda McMahon coming down the ramp with, was it Earl Hebner when she was in the wheelchair for WrestleMania and all that? It was Vince versus Shane, I think it was.
It was Vince versus Shane. Yeah, no, she came down with Trish Stratus. I think someone did come running down. The referees did switch up. But yeah, that's when Linda was comatose. And then she stood up. The place went crazy. And she kicked Vince in the
Linda.
In the redacted.
Man. I wasn't really around for the Linda era too much.
That's good, because Linda was bad. Mm. It just was not for her. Linda took a stunner once.
Mm.
And the crowd cheered. You stunned like a 60-year-old woman and the crowd went nuts.
Brother, we were putting Mae Young through tables.
Yeah,
we were past
crazy.
That.
They went crazy on that one.
That's crazy.
We got to check in for one of our favorite unsponsored segment. Where is Ben at in watching the show? He says in the chat, why are they saying J. Cole went KD? I think that's in reference to our commercial break when we were talking about the battle.
Like our first one?
Yeah.
Man, that might be a record for Ben. He's almost 2 hours behind. That's a record for Ben.
J. Cole should have got in this, man.
No.
Because it's just competition now. Like, it's not serious. Like, all the beefs have been. Like, this is just the best of the best right now.
Now, this one got potential to get
a little
crazy.
Like, you think so?
Like, Rick Ross being involved. Like, Rick's attack on Drake wasn't just bars.
No.
Like, that was a man who's frustrated with Drake.
Yeah.
Hurt. That was personal.
He's hurt by him. I mean, like, we talked about it a little bit. Like, they were tight. They were boys. And something.
You haven't heard us talk about it yet.
I said we've talked about it. You haven't heard it.
Yeah, you haven't heard it yet. Yeah.
Whether it was just that song situation or maybe something deeper, something really hurt Rosé.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That Drake.
It's more than the French Montana stuff that he talked about in the record. Like, it's a lot more than that. Like, you don't throw your whole, like, those two are on a lot of records together. Rosé glows about Drake in both of his books.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the aspect of where, like, all right, this is all fun and games, but, like, these are two men. Like,
right.
These dudes were close. Mm-hmm. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. We'll see what Kendrick says, though. Drake has some bars.
I did say
Drake
Barry,
has some bars.
Barry Horowitz. Pat myself on the back. I did say this was going to happen.
What's
I said
that?
He was going to win. That Drake was going to come back and people were going to be like, oh, damn, Drake.
Well,
it was okay.
Just be clear. I just want to be clear. I'm not going, oh, damn, Drake. It's like, he did that. That was good.
He killed that.
Why don't you just admit it?
That was an 8.
Just admit it. An 8?
Yeah.
You said that was an 8 out of 10?
Yeah. I gave Rosé a 7.
Oh,
I thought it was slightly less than Drake, but I thought it was really good. I thought both of them were really good on Saturday.
I don't think I'd give Drake an 8.
I think I'm closer with KC.
I don't think I'd give Rosé a 7.
I didn't
like what Rosé said. So.
Yeah, and I like the bars, like the song and the bars.
Yeah,
that
but
Rosé
he ain't talking to you though. When he says white boy,
no, but that's also not the bars, right? Like he was saying that stuff after.
It's still
the,
part of the record,
thing.
Though.
So I'm listening to the bars, and man, it's a dope. Yeah,
Rosé
song.
Nasty.
It was a dope song. Dope.
Yeah, Rosé can go.
Yeah,
Rosé can go. I'll give them both like a 7, 7.5.
It's the same thing I just gave, bro.
No, you get no.
It's a half already when I gave Drake.
I give both.
That 0.5 means a lot, pal. You either round up or you round down. We know what it means on this show.
Like, look, man, this is gymnastics, man. The points matter. This ain't pocket watching where you could be off by 100,000 and win.
Well, you know, as long as the strategy's right there, you know, that's going to keep me winning. It's going to keep me winning, keep me above 500.
Look, I could be Adam Silver and start implementing some new officiating.
Oh, now we want to do that after I talked about Price is Right rules?
Adam did it. Why can't I? I start saying if you guys are $50,000 off, no one or
million.
500,000. No, that's not. Yeah, it has to be 50 million. You're right. If you guys are just grossly off, you both lose.
Wrong. Win's a win.
I'm going to discuss this with Adam Silver.
Win is a win. Adam Silver, you got some good news today. Did you see that?
The numbers?
Yeah. Yeah, the attendance numbers.
22.5 million people attended.
Yeah, 20
NBA games this year.
Yeah, 22.5 because I'm not going to read all the numbers. But 100, that's the most ever. 182 sellouts is the most ever.
Mm.
And an average attendance of 18,300. 22 is the highest ever. The NBA teams that sold out all of their games this season, the Celtics, the Cavs, the Mavericks, the Nuggets, the Warriors, the Heat, the T-Wolves, the Sixers, the Suns, and the Sacramento Kings.
Very nice.
Sold out every game.
Good stuff.
They had that. I saw something earlier.
Any of those surprise you?
Nah. Nah, basketball's hot in all these places.
Okay.
So, I'm pretty sure that would have went down that way. I also saw, I wish I had that on me too, but I saw the prices for the play-in games.
Mm.
And I think the other three home teams are hovering around $50 to $60, like average ticket prices, or maybe highest. Or I don't know how they equated it, but everyone's hovering around $50 to $60. $212 for Kings.
That's the average price?
Yeah, I think that was average.
Now this is this isn't resale. This is
what it didn't specify.
Because I can't imagine there are very many non-resale tickets available tomorrow.
No. That one's going to
that resale market probably going kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It's probably going kind of crazy. 916-909-1320 if you want to get in on the phone lines. Look at some other things in the NBA. We were talking about it a minute ago. Oklahoma City finishes with the one seed. Phoenix wound up finishing sixth.
They did it. I didn't think they had a chance in hell.
It's going to be the Suns versus the Timberwolves.
That's
the 3
be
versus
crazy
6.
Series too.
Yeah, this all became a thing because Denver lost to San Antonio on Friday.
Because Vic went stupid.
Bananas. Yeah, he went. They need something else for Rookie of the Year. Like, there's Rookie of the Year, like Malcolm Brogdon won, and then there's Rookie of the Year, like Victor Wembanyama is about to win.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was like 121-120 or something crazy like that, and that threw everything Saturday into a bit of a spin because Oklahoma City had the tiebreaker, so it became if Oklahoma City won, they were going to be the one seed. And because all of the games started at the same time, depending on the conference, all of the games started.
Yeah, they kind
of
threw me off with that. I literally thought everything was 12.
So did I. Yeah.
The end of the Knicks Bulls game at 1. I said, wait, what?
Yeah, it threw me off a little bit too. But it created some interesting scenarios for teams like the Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets where they had to go out there and win games. And I'm sure that they, you know, we're monitoring scores and scoreboards and all of that stuff, just as we were doing at the Golden One Center last night. Everyone had their eyes on the Pelicans-Lakers game, though.
That ended quickly.
I think there was one point in the first quarter where it got to 4, and then that was it. Like, it was never a conversation again.
Did you hear the dialogue around the Lakers this morning?
The Anthony Davis stuff?
No.
No.
It's your boy, too. It's your boy who brought this up. I saw a couple other people brought up. I think Lakers Twitter or fans are talking about it.
Who is my boy?
Your boy, Greeny.
Why is that my boy?
Saying that the Lakers need to lose this game tomorrow win the next game so they can avoid the Nuggets. But, like, not just lose, but he said, sit AD and LeBron. Sit AD and LeBron so you don't have to face the Nuggets and just win this game on Friday.
You know, there is probably no more surefire sign that a sports media personality has never been an athlete than when they say dumbass stuff like that. Like, that is such a media contrived conversation about avoiding certain teams and do, like, Greeny is the epitome of, I have never been a professional athlete in my life, and I'm going to say really stupid things as it pertains to professional athletics. With all due respect to Greeny, that is absurd.
Yeah.
It's absolutely absurd.
They had another absurd person saying the same thing in the media. I think it was Acho.
That did not help your case, bro.
I don't have a case.
Well, that didn't help their case. That didn't help Greeny's case. Acho was an athlete. Acho's a, I ain't gonna call the man out his name. I do not listen to that dude. Yeah. Come on, man. Bring something else up. Get Acho out of this conversation.
The thought.
I don't even know which Acho you're talking about now that I think about it. Because aren't there two of them?
I think there's two. The one that's.
I feel like they think the same way.
The one that's always talking.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But the thought that the Lakers willingly, like Greeny said, I don't know what Acho said. I just saw I saw a tweet and kind of zoomed by it. Didn't watch the video. Greeny was like, nah. Sit LeBron and AD, get extra rest, win that game on Friday.
That's okay, bro.
So because you don't want to play Denver.
You fought to get out of the 9-10, so you have the extra matchup. You have the extra chance, and you want to throw it away because you're scared of Denver. All right, dude. Whatever you say, bro. So
that was a lot of the discourse this morning on the national shows and stuff like that. And I did see a little bit of Lakers Twitter talking about that a little bit. I don't know if they were like, yeah, let's do it, but they talked about it. But nah, man.
No.
That ain't
absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. You're listening to D'Lo and Casey on KIFM.
Oh, I was gonna say too, I got it pulled up.
West Sacramento. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You're listening to ESPN 1320 KIFM West Sacramento. An Odyssey station. And D'Lo and Casey is brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Yeah, we don't even say it the same way.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.